Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of our Lord according to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your holy word that tells us the stories of Jesus and the stories of us. We thank you for being in all the parts of the Bible, teaching us today what you imparted long ago and helping us to carry your love forward into the future. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, Regina Brett is a local journalist who has written for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Akron Beacon Journal, Cleveland Jewish News, and Akron Jewish News, as well as publishing 3 books, hosting her own podcast and blog, and being a sought-after speaker. Some of us might be inclined to nominate her for Woman Who Has It All. And yet her website reminds us, Regina draws from her personal story, from being a lost unwed mother, survivor of sexual assault, recovering alcoholic, cancer survivor, and Alzheimer's caregiver, to inspire and empower survivors of all kinds of detours to create a life they love out of the life they have. Now, in 2010, Regina Brett published her first book, God Never Blinks, and it spent 3 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. More relevant to me is that I've been quoting parts of it to people ever since, and it nearly went down all the rabbit trails of every chapter in trying to find this excerpt for you. So, this is actually from chapter 1. Life isn't fair, but it's still good. The hat always came back, more faded yet stronger than ever. Frank started it. I had undergone my first chemotherapy and couldn't imagine being bald. Then I saw a guy wearing a baseball cap bearing these words, life is good. Life didn't feel good, and it was about to feel worse, so I asked the guy where he got the hat. 2 days later, Frank drove across town and stopped by my house and gave me one. Frank is a magical kind of guy. A house painter by trade, he lives by 2 simple words, get to. They remind him to be grateful for everything. Instead of saying, I have to go to work today, Frank tells himself, I get to go to work. Instead of saying, I have to get groceries, he gets to. Instead of saying, I have to take the kids to baseball practice, he gets to. It works for everything. The hat on anyone but Frank might not have carried the same power. It was navy blue with an oval patch that announced its message in white letters. And life was good. Even though my hair fell out, my body grew weak, my eyebrows fell off. Instead of wearing a wig, I wore that hat as my answer to cancer, as my billboard to the world. People love to stare at a bald woman. They got a message back when they gawked. I do recommend the whole book. In a column from a few years ago, marking the passing of Frank, Brett says, my friend Frank Harnachar turned my life upside down with 2 words, get to. It seems fair because she did the same to me. I get to pay the bills Everyone has bills, but not everyone can pay them. I get to do the dishes and laundry for the family I dearly desired and love. And now I get to teach the kids to do those things for themselves. The have to, get to switch is not actually one we can flip for other people, even though I'm standing up here telling you about it. We can only flip it for ourselves. And we do need to be gentle with ourselves to ensure we are finding a place of gratitude and not making ourselves feel worse about how we're handling one of life's tough spots. While it's sometimes hard to flip that have to, get to switch, there's one area where it's never a chore for me. I get to support Jesus. Let that sink in for a minute. We get to support Jesus. The ways we do this are as infinite as we are. So today we're talking about supporting Jesus through the offering, whether that's in the plate during worship or through electronic giving. We get to support Jesus financially. Now, some of us might say, now, wait a minute. Didn't we just finish that series where we kept talking about how we don't have to earn God's love or pay for salvation? Yes. Yes, we did. Good job paying attention. We don't have to give a church offering for God to love us or even to take part in church activities. We don't have to fill out a financial pledge card in order to get into heaven or take communion. And others of us might say, now wait another minute. Isn't Jesus God? And isn't part of God's perfection that God doesn't need anything? Well, yes, and yes, philosophy majors, but that's why it's a privilege and a gift. We get to be part of the amazing work that God is doing. We get to be part of the eternal flow of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember this summer when we talked about getting to be the hands and feet of Jesus, about how whenever we get to serve someone else, it's as if we're serving Jesus. Today's scripture reading is significantly shorter and less dramatic than Jesus' story about separating the sheep from the goats for all eternity. These three verses might feel just a little bit like narrator transition, a bridge between big action stories, but these three verses are about getting to support Jesus and who gets to and why it matters. Verse 1 says that Jesus went on through one town and village after another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. If we read the rest of the gospel, we know that means Jesus is healing people's bodies, forgiving their sins, confronting authorities about oppression, teaching people how much God really loves all of us, erasing the lines between insider and outsider so that everyone belongs. Verse 1 also says, the 12 were with him, meaning his closest followers, those named male disciples who did not know they were being apprenticed to bring the good news when Jesus is gone. And verses 2 and 3 tell us that women were on the road with Jesus and his male disciples. Throughout his gospel, the writer Luke takes great care to pair mentions of women alongside men in order to demonstrate how much more radically inclusive God's kingdom is than any kingdom that's ever existed. First century society under Roman oppression might not have given women disciples the same opportunities as male disciples, but they were there. They were going where Jesus went and playing a very important role. Verse 3 says the women ministered to them out of their resources. They got to financially support Jesus and the important work of proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Notice that these verses do not say, Peter, James, and John fished for 3 days while Matthew collected extra taxes and Jesus and the rest hustled some carpentry on the side. It doesn't say that. Jesus was able to devote himself a full time to sharing the good news of the kingdom of God because the women who had resources got to spend them to support that. The gospel writer Luke gives lots of attention to how the good and right use of resources, money, things, and status, differs between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. That they get called out, they, the women, get called out by name for doing this is Luke's way of saying, hey, over here, do like they are doing. In a world where survival was such a daily grind, why would Mary, Joanna, Susanna, and others give away their money to support traveling ragtag preachers? Love and gratitude to God. It's what our stewardship committee has been encouraging us to focus on this fall. Love and gratitude to God. The Bible tells us they had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. They were being included. They traded the instability of empire power games for the sure and certain love of God. When you love someone, do you delight in giving them gifts? When you are grateful that your life has been transformed, do you want other people to know that freedom and joy? We don't have to give gifts, but we get to give gifts to show love. We don't have to tell others or support organizations, but we get to. What would you give to see Jesus transforming lives and transforming the world? The good news is we get to give Jesus our gifts to our church. As you're praying this week about how to fill out your financial pledge card next week, it's not a bill that you have to pay to participate. Your pledge card is an expression of the love that you get to give to Jesus. It's an expression of the gratitude that you get to share with others. And if you're a guest with us, or for some other reason you won't be filling out a pledge card, just mentally sub in whatever kind of commitment you are exploring with God right now. So speaking of amazing women, this is the part where I could use Julie Andrews to sing, "These are a few of my favorite things" from The Sound of Music. How do we get to support Jesus here at Strongsville UMC? We get to feed and clothe our hungry neighbors locally, just as if they were Jesus, through with dignity and love, through the Blue Bus, through our local community organization partners, Nehemiah Mission, Refugee Response, Laura's Home, Westside Community House, Trials for Hope, the Strongsville Food Bank, probably some others I missed. We get to let the children come to Jesus, as he said, through Sunday school, through Logos, through youth group, Vacation Bible School, Recharge, our ever-growing Fostering the Future ministries, Kids Hope Mentoring, Families Anonymous. We get to support Jesus' work with kids who are all grown up, like some of us. I don't know if any who wants to call themselves a grown-up. We get to support that work through senior adult ministries, through Lydia Circle, our various small groups. We get to support the healing that Jesus wants to do through Stephen Ministers, through Care Ministers, Divorce Care, Journey Through Grief, Healing Care Groups, Parish Nurses, Prayer Chain, Prayer Garden, Meditative Worship. We get to support Jesus in growing as a community. We're worried and happy and broke and rich and anxious and joyful and struggling and purposeful people welcome anyone and everyone to belong and to make meaningful lives together. We get to support Jesus doing all these things also in places we'll never go with people we'll never meet. To be a United Methodist who financially supports the church means to educate children in Sierra Leone, to equip farmers in Liberia, to build churches and supply relief efforts in Ukraine, to operate medical clinics in remote locations across the globe, here in Ohio, around the world, across the globe, all in the name of Jesus. These are a few of my favorite things. And these really are just a few, and in list format, without even talking about why and how all these things change the world, and in Jesus' name. Just to think of all the good that Jesus is doing makes my heart swell to bursting with love for him and for his world. And then to think that I get to support Jesus? I mean, my gratitude to God swells more deeply than I have words for. And I hope it is the same for you, that getting to support Jesus brings you joy unspeakable that won't go away and guides you as you pray about your pledge for next year and or your other commitments to God. We get to support our Savior in spreading the good news of the kingdom of God from town to village throughout the world. And is there anything that is going to change the world more? Let's pray. Lord, it humbles us, it scares us, it excites us that we get to be part of the work you are doing, that we get to join in your ministry and your work, that we get to see you change lives, that sometimes we even get to be the people who are directly involved in that. We set out with a big and bold mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's so big and so bold that it's silly unless it comes from you, unless we put our whole trust in you. And so we ask you to help us do that. Help us to trust you for all that we need. Help us to trust you to be at work when we can't quite figure out how things are going. And help us to trust you as to where our church should be going and what we should be doing to share God's love, to share your word, to share your love, to serve your world. Thank you, God, for loving us and for inviting us to help share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.